Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening today. Good afternoon. Well, you've been listening this week. You know that my hubby and I are taking a much-needed vacation in Florida, but we're re-airing the series I did on my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. We're on section 4 of the book, and throughout the book, the show, I'm going to be playing clips from the DVD that accompanies the book, and this has also been very sweet and a sweet, sweet time, and I pray that you find yourself encouraged. But if you've not caught the last several shows, I want to just bring you up to speed. What is your beautiful purpose? This is what it is for each and every one of us. It's to walk intimately with God. It's to give Him access to our story and our wounds and our hopes and our dreams. It's to do the next thing He tells us to do. And then if we dare, it's to ask Him to do the impossible in and through us. If you missed those past shows, you can do a search on the Live the Promise page. Type in Your Beautiful Purpose, and the first three will come up. Today, as I said, is week 4, and today we're addressing believing God's Word and what that means. Believing God's Word, it's to follow His lead and to engage our faith. And last Monday, what we talked about was hearing God's voice and silencing the enemy. And the whole idea there was to give God more access to our lives and give the enemy less access. And one of the things I addressed last time that you can catch is James 4:7. It says, resist the devil, submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And oftentimes when that enemy's messing with us, it's for one of two reasons. One, we've opened the door by actions, attitudes, behaviors. We've opened the door, given him access. Or two, because he's harassing us and he's assuming we don't know our right. And so submitting to God is a military term, and it means to get back in rank. And so if you're being bugged by that enemy, first and foremost, you submit yourself to God and say, Lord, anything in me? Did I give the enemy any access here? Is there any sin in me that I need to repent of, to bring before you? Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then you get back in rank, and then you have the authority when you're in rank where you should be, to reject that enemy and to silence his voice. And so that was last Monday. Again, today we're talking believing his word, following his lead, and engaging our faith. And so to follow his lead just means you do what he tells you to. You go where he tells you to go, and you develop a lifestyle of listening to and responding to him. And to engage your faith, it means to put your weight on the promises of God. So I'm going to unpack those two concepts. I have 4 copies, again, of Your Beautiful Purpose, compliments of my wonderful publisher, Bethany House Publishers. And so I'm going to be opening up the phone lines here in just a moment. But I remember a time a while, way back, this was many years ago. I'm glad to tell you it was a long time ago and not recently. But I showed up at a retreat with the wrong speaking notes. Actually, I brought the speaking notes I prepared for that retreat, but it was the wrong theme. And just to give you kind of some backstory, I had like 25 retreats that year, and I was doing all my own booking and handling of all my speaking files. And apparently the back-to-back weekend retreats had the same contact name. And so the emails got mixed up because they were signing their email signatures similar. And somehow one got in the other file for me, my email file. And so I prepared a deeper waters theme, and I showed up to see Rooted and Grounded and Seeds and Sprouts, and their whole retreat center was decorated in a Rooted and Grounded theme. And I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And the leaders came in, and I literally fell to my knees and begged for mercy. I'm like, you're not going to believe what I just did. And thankfully, these women were so godly and wonderful. They pulled me up on my feet and said, bring us what God has given you. And I was so dependent on the Lord because I had blown it. But boy, did God show up on that retreat. I mean, God moved. Women met God. One woman had a back issue, and just during the worship time, she was miraculously healed. And I left that place so completely humbled. And it makes me think of the account in the Gospels when Jesus is having this face-off with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And by the way, the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't even like each other that much, but they came together because they both opposed Jesus, were so threatened by him, and they're demanding a sign. And, you know, Jesus had nothing to prove to them, and he would not bow to that. But you can imagine those face-offs, what that did for Jesus. And so he's with the disciples, and he's still reeling and thinking about that. And he cautions the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, the leaven, it's like it gets in there a little bit, and it takes over and kind of makes the whole lump of dough, it ruins it, right? Well, leaven in real life with dough, I don't think wrecks it, but you know what I'm saying? That was his word picture. And the disciples thought that Jesus was mad because they forgot the bread. And I would so go there. I would be that person. Oh, he's talking about the bread. We forgot the bread. He's mad that we forgot the bread. And then Jesus is like, do you not remember? I just multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed thousands. I got lunch, guys. I'm talking about beware of the influence of these two people groups, of worldliness and legalism. And that's such a picture to me, that as we follow God's lead, we're not always going to do it right. We're going to forget the bread. We're going to prepare for the wrong speaking engagement sometimes. But if we engage our faith and we listen for God's voice, he moves on our faith. And it matters more than anything that we walk closely with him. We can try to strive, get it all right. We're not going to. But if we engage our faith, follow his lead, that's when we're going to hear his voice and end up where he wants us to go. So this first clip, it's about a conversation that I was having with my son, Luke. He was afraid he was going to miss the voice of God. This is when he was a young boy. And here I tell the story on the DVD. Here it is.
Something you must know is that your faith is a very big deal to God. Your faith is significant. It's important. It matters to him and it matters to you. And our faith really is supposed to be growing and stretching all the time. Until we see Jesus face to face, we need to be believing his promises, being willing to step out and trust him in ways that maybe at times are uncomfortable for us. And so the way that we experience his love and his provision is to stay in tune to his voice, to listen for his voice, to do that next thing that he says, and to stay in step with him. So often we can get ahead of him in selfishness and ambition, or we can fall behind in fear, in self-preservation. But the whole idea to walking out your beautiful purpose is to stay right in step. Keep an ear bent towards heaven, because he's always speaking. So may you always hear him. When my kids were young, they're grown now, but I talk often about my middle son, Luke, because he really got in more trouble than the other two combined. And he's a great kid now, but I'm telling you what, he gave us a run for our money. But he also was known to have these periodic meltdowns where he would cry like the world was coming to an end. And sometimes it would be a really significant thing, but other times it would be something maybe not so significant. So I didn't know what I was in for as I was going up to his room to find out why he was screaming and crying at the top of his lungs. When I finally rolled him over to get him to talk with me and he caught his breath a little bit, I said, "What's the matter, honey? What's the matter?" And he said, "I am so afraid I'm going to miss God's voice." He says, "I think the devil is going to pretend he's Jesus and get me into trouble, because you know I'm in trouble a lot." And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he goes, "I spend so much time in the corner already. I'm afraid I'm going to be tricked and I'm going to have to live in the corner." And I tried not to laugh too much, but I just held him in my arms. And I just said the first thing that came to me. And I said, "You know what, honey? Let's pretend you and I are walking through the woods, hand in hand. And we're just enjoying the scenery. We're taking in the beauty. But all of a sudden, you get distracted. And you let go of my hand, which is fine. And you're skipping next to me. But then you see a squirrel, and you run off a little bit. And then you see something else, and you run off a little further. You can still see me, and you can still hear me. But you've got some distance between us. But let's say you keep getting distracted and you get so far away that you can't see me. How easy would it be for someone else to creep in between us, pretend they're me, and trick you into hearing a voice that you think is mine?" He said, "Really easy." And I said, "So the point is to let no distance come between you and Jesus. Listen for his voice, hear him, know that he always has something to say to you. And if you stay in step with him, he'll tell you where you need to go. And he wants you to hear him. And he even says, 'My sheep listen to me. They know my voice.' So the more you get to know him, the more you'll be able to distinguish his voice. And so as you stay in step with him, he will speak to you and you'll get where you need to go."
So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're on week 4 of Your Beautiful Purpose. And if you've missed the last 3 Mondays, no matter. I still believe you'll have some content to take away today. We're talking about what it means to trust God's word, to stand on his word, to follow his lead, and to engage our faith. And, you know, our faith is significant and it's important to God, and it's really needs to be always growing. And so though there are times of rest and replenishment, there are never are times of coasting so I don't have to think about it kind of Christianity. God wants us to be leaning in. He wants us to be listening. He wants us to acknowledge him in everything that we say and do. And so it's easy to rely on our own understanding. But this is really required, that if we really want to go tomorrow and be where he intends us to be tomorrow, we got to hear him today. We got to bend that ear and listen for his voice. I remember a time when we'd first moved to the northern suburbs. Maybe you've heard me tell this story before. And we were trying to find a church. And we stopped at a church, visited, that was nice enough and it was sweet. But nobody was talking to us. And it was hard just moving to a new community, and everybody had their little cliques. And I went into the bathroom to have a pity party. And I'm in the bathroom going, nobody cares. I'm here, God, you know. And God just whispered in my heart, how long have you known me? And I said, I don't know, like 30 years. And he said, that's long enough. He said, you know who you are. I know who you are. Go out there and actually talk to somebody who actually needs some help. And it was just a conviction of my spirit. I was just having a pity party. And so I went out, and I'm an introvert. It is hard for me to walk through a church foyer with lots of people. It's hard for me. But my ear was bent towards heaven, and I felt that nudge, and I walked out into the entryway, and I see this sweet little mom leaning against the wall, holding hands with her kids, with tears in her eyes. And I walked right over to her, and I said, hey, I'm Susie. I said, you're doing all right today? And she said, actually, I'm not. She said, I just found out I have Lyme disease, and I have these little kids, and I have no idea how I'll ever survive. And I said, oh, my goodness, I've been where you are. And I was able to hold her hands and tell her just tangible things that helped me get through my battle as a mom with young kids and Lyme disease. And I said, can I just pray for you? And God was just breathing on that moment. Have you ever had that happen where you listen to the nudge, you respond to the nudge, you do what he says, and he meets you there? That's what it was. Praying for her. And just power came over that prayer time. She was crying, and I was choked up. And I just said, you're going to make it, hon. You're going to make it. And she grabbed my arms, and she said, hey, are you on staff here? And I laughed. I go, no, I'm just visiting. And that was such a picture for me that we can walk in authority. We can walk in credibility when we keep that ear bent towards heaven. We trust God. He knows what he's doing with us, even when we don't know where we're going. All right, so I'm going to open up the phone lines. And I'd love to know from you, what does it mean right now for you to follow his lead? Do you have an ear bent towards heaven? Are you hearing what he's saying? What's he telling you to do? And how are you engaging your faith? Remember, we can't please him without putting some weight on some of the promises of God. This is never, ever going to be, or it's not supposed to be, a coasting so I don't have to think about it Christianity. As I said, there's times of replenishment. There are times of running. There's times of rest. There's times of diligent work. But always, and always, we're to keep an ear bent towards heaven, listening for that still, small voice, and just doing the next thing. He says, I want to hear from you. I've got four copies of Beautiful Purpose to give away. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. This next clip, I'm unpacking the passage of Proverbs 3:5-6. This is also from the DVD. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is. The verse that I want to talk with you about today, maybe you've heard, maybe you've even heard 1,000 times before. It's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I want you to hear it again in a brand new way. I studied this verse and it actually just came to life to me in a fresh new way. So trust, you know what it means? To trust in the Lord is to have a bold confidence, security in. So when you think about your situation, to trust in the Lord is to take a flying leap of faith and land on the rock to say, I am boldly confident. I am secure in who you are and who you say you will be to me in my situation. So you trust him. You have a boldness about your assurance of his faithfulness. You trust him. You have a security that he's going to come through for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then lean not on your own understanding. You know what lean means simply is to shift your weight. So we so often rely on our understanding as if that's the more secure perspective, but it really isn't. I picture a branch leaning over the water that's kind of flimsy. And you to get off solid ground and to get on the flimsy branch of your understanding really does put you at risk. Now the best part of the verse is acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I studied this word and it absolutely boggled my mind. I used to think acknowledge him was kind of a perfunctory nod, where in your search situation, you kind of give him a nod. I see you, God, and I'm acknowledging you in my circumstance. It's not that at all. In fact, it's the same word that you see in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know, or cease striving and know. The word know in the Greek is yada. And you know what it means? It's an intimate knowing and being known. It means there's nothing in between, that there is such an intimacy in how you're known and how you're being known that nothing comes in between. Same word in be still and know that I am God as
acknowledge. It's yada. And so when you think about to acknowledge God, to not only know Him, but to increasingly intimately know Him. In other words, another descriptive word for this acknowledge is to distinguish, to make the distinction between God's voice and the enemy's voice. When my kids were young and they would mess up, I would get on their level, I would grab their shoulders, and I would say, "You are too important to be making decisions like this." And even in the discipline, they'd stand up a little straighter and they were being called up. That's the voice of the Lord. But how often when we mess up, do we hear the condemning voice in our head? "You're an idiot. I can't believe you did this," again and again and again. So to acknowledge Him in all your ways is to know Him, to intimately know Him, to distinguish between His voice and the enemy's voice, to recognize Him at work. So doesn't that bring a deeper perspective to this verse? In all your ways, know Him. If your struggle is in finances, relationship, in your job, or the dream in your heart that doesn't ever seem like it's going to come to pass, in all your ways, get to know Him and then get to know Him better. In all your ways, distinguish, make the distinction between God's voice and the enemy's voice. You'll be able to do that the better you get to know Him. And the rest of the verse says, "And He will direct your paths." And you know what that means? It means He'll meet you on your path. So as you trust Him, have a bold confidence, security in Him. You refuse to lean on your circumstance and your perspective. Even if it feels true, you determine, no, God's word is truer still. In all your ways, you acknowledge Him. You know Him. You love Him. You listen to Him. You respond to Him. He'll meet you on your path and He'll make your way straight.
That's another clip from your Beautiful Purpose DVD. So glad you tuned in today. We're talking about what it means to stand on God's word, to follow His lead, and to engage your faith. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got 4 copies of your Beautiful Purpose to give away from my wonderful publisher, Bethany House Publishers, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Love a question or comment. Otherwise, I want to know, how is He leading you and how have you responded? Adam is calling from Andover. Adam, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
So I wanted to just share with you, because God has been so amazing today and just giving me this opportunity to listen to Him. He asked me to call my buddy about 11:30, and I didn't know why, and I didn't know what I was going to talk to him about, but I called him, and we're just shot the breeze, just normal banter that friends would do, and at the end of the conversation, about a quarter to noon, he says, "You know, I wanted to tell you that if you wouldn't have called me, I would have missed my job. I slept through my alarm clock, and I have to be at work at noon. And because you called me, you woke me up, and I was able to get ready, and now I can make it to work on time."
Wow. Don't you love that?
Yeah. It's fun when you get to see that He uses you as His tool, and you bless somebody else's life through what He tells you to do, just because you listen to Him.
So good, Adam. And that's the thing, is we don't need to know the outcome, and the outcome isn't in our hands. It's that we respond and we obey. And then once in a while, He lets us see the outcome, which is a wonderful surprise. That's so great. Well, you get a copy, Adam, of your Beautiful Purpose. It's written for women, but I actually know of a number of men who are reading it, but feel free to pass it on if you want as well. Thanks for your call. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So we're talking about your beautiful purpose. What is your beautiful purpose? It really is different for all of us. I'm telling you, for some, it is a mission and a cause, and it's very defined. Others, it's more of sort of a behind-the-scenes influence. It's really the way that God wired you. But the thing is, we are called to be ever-growing and increasing in our influence, ever-growing and increasing in our faith, ever growing in our ability to hear that voice, as Adam was talking about, and responding to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. And the more that we do that, the more finely tuned our ear comes. It becomes to His voice. And so what's He telling you today? What's your sense of even in this season and even the next season that He's taking you? And what kind of faith is it requiring of you? Are you shifting your weight? As you hear that Proverbs 3:5-6, you know, sometimes scripture can almost sound cliche. It never is, but to us it can become that way if we hear it too many times and not hear it unpacked in a fresh way. And so Proverbs 3:5-6, think about that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, it's like to have a bold, confident security in, to say, "God, You are who You say You are. As Beth Moore says, you do what you're going to say that you're going to do, and I am who You say I am. And so I'm going to trust You. I'm going to put all my weight on the fact that You're good, Your promises are true, and You're going to make a way for me. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding." We have an uncanny ability to kind of try to connect our own dots, to use our logical reasoning. But somehow, some way, we have to say, okay, I see in part, but God sees the whole picture. And if his nudge feels contrary to what my reasoning tells me, I'm going with him every time. And every way, I'm going to acknowledge him. So in every way, I'm going to experience him. I'm going to encounter him. I'm going to get to know him even better so that I can recognize him at work in these different areas of my life, in finances, in family, relationships, in my work. In every way, I'm going to know him, and then I'm going to know him more. So what does that mean in your work relationships and the work of your hands? God, I want to encounter you in my workplace. I want to see favor surround me. I want to be a person of peace among my coworkers. I want you to bless the work of my hands. That's how you know him and acknowledge him and get to know him more. And by you caring enough to bring God's blessing and presence and power to your everyday life, he meets you on the path. He wants to do that for you. In fact, you look in the Old Testament, he had a real issue with people who wouldn't ask for his blessing on their work. They just thought, we got this. We're going to go. We got it. And he wants to intervene. He wants to be a part of what we're doing. And so what about you? How is he leading you? Do you have a sense of what obedience looks like here? Love to hear. 877-933-2484. You've heard this clip before. This is about the three phases of your dream come true. I'm going to squeeze this in before the break. But this really does give a framework for us to understand the process God takes us through as we go from one place to the next, as we walk out our beautiful purpose. Here it is. I want to talk with you about three phases to your dream come true. The first phase is a dream far off, and that's where your motivations are revealed. The second is a dream up close. That's where your fears are confronted. And the third is a dream realized, and that's where your faith is strengthened. So the dream far off is a place where you've suddenly wakened to the idea that God has a beautiful plan for your life. And you know what? It matches your desires. It matches some of your gifts, and it really will be like life, breathing air for you to walk it out. So as you start to dream about it, the sky's the limit, because after all, the Bible does say nothing is impossible with him. And so it seems like anything could happen. And you start to get excited because you're awakening to the idea. And then things seem to slow down to a screeching halt. And that's where discouragement can set in. But this is an important part of the process, because with the delay, our ambitions, our motivations all come to the surface. And this is the stuff that God works to take out of us so that we can stand strong. Because it's not just enough to get to that place. God wants us to be able to stand in that place, fight in that place, win in that place, so that we can move on from that place. And we make the mistake when we see other people living out our dream who maybe have certain gifts, certain skills, and we think, why can't I be there? I have better gifts than that. I'm a better singer than she is. And we get into that sin of comparison, but it is not enough to have a skill or a gift. You have to have the character and the conviction to stand in that place. So that dream far off, that process is extremely important in your process, because God will use your daily battles, your daily struggles to show you what needs to go so that he can firm up your character, because those will be the access points that the enemy will go after if they're not dealt with. So that's what happens in that first phase. The second phase is a dream up close. And this is where your fears are confronted, because you know what? If you take God at his word and you follow his lead, you engage your faith, and you step out when he tells you to, you're going to take ground. You're going to have some forward movement. And there'll be a point where your fingertips can touch the dream. Your toes will be on the edges of your promised land. And you go, I could so mess this up. And suddenly your humanity comes in contact with your dream. And you kind of go, you know, maybe this isn't such a good time. Maybe somebody else should do this. And suddenly all your fear stuff comes up. And this is where it's so important, where you might not feel ready, where before you felt ready, and God's like, you're not ready yet. And now you're like, I don't think I'm ready. And he's like, no, you are ready. And this is where you step out even though you're afraid. And you're going to see your giants fall if you take God at his word, if you listen to his voice, and you engage your faith. The third phase is a dream realized. And this is where your faith is strengthened. It's almost like going up to a new gear. Picture yourself if you're a runner and you're used to running a mile, you know, once a year or something. And then you decide to train for a 5K. And so suddenly you're running every week. Well, your muscles will hurt a little bit. You're going to get a little winded, but you're training at a new level. This is what happens when you're realizing a dream, when you're stepping into that next place God has for you. Your faith will be challenged. You'll be out of breath at time. Your faith muscles will feel a little bit sore, but you're being conditioned to stand in that place. And it is a miracle of God what happens, where you learn to manage more. You have a capacity to believe God for more, and you'll develop an appetite for the impossible. But don't be disillusioned in that phase, because you're going to be challenged. You're going to feel tired at times. But if you hang in there, God knows what he's doing, and he's training you to reign with him. He's training you to reign with him. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I see some calls coming in. We'll take those calls, talking about your beautiful purpose today. More in just a moment.
You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me.
I love that song, Chris Tomlin, the God of Angel Armies. He's a friend of mine. He goes before me. He's got my back. He's got yours as well. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Going through my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, in celebration of its launch this month. Boy, it's been a powerful time. And hearing from you as well of how the shows have impacted you with emails and Facebook messages just blessed me beyond words. We're on week 4. We're talking about what it means to believe God's word, to put your weight on his word. So you're saying, I trust your promises more than what my feelings and emotions tell me. To follow his lead, that means to keep an ear bent towards heaven, do what he says, and then to engage your faith. We're going to unpack that in a moment. We've got a few books to give away. Compliments of Bethany House, 877-933-2484. We've got Lynn calling from Minneapolis. Lynn, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Blessed by your program. Mm. And I just wanted to share, when I came back to the States after living 27 years in Mexico and divorced and facing empty nest with my three adult children, and then forced into early retirement because of a rare disease. And mm-hmm. What is my purpose? And it took me a while, many years, as a matter of fact. And I have learned in on my quiet time, and I don't recall the reference right now, but my purpose is to intercessory pray, love God, and accept his love for me.
Mm.
And it worked against my work ethic, and I'll be honest, I still quite not there, but I'm realizing that agape love is what my purpose is right now.
Mm. Boy, Lynn, that is, the world really is deeply impacted and changed by powerful intercessors. And I remember going through that season myself when I was sick, going, okay, I'll do this. There's so much more I want to do. But to submit to God's will in that place showed me, and it cultivated something in me that showed me that's such an anchor, really, for the whole kingdom of God, is people behind the scenes wrestling in prayer and standing on his word. And so in heaven, you know, we have such an upside-down culture. When we get to heaven, boy, you're going to see your impact in ways that will boggle your mind. So bless you for stepping up to that purpose.
Mm. Thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful, hon. Thank you so much. 877-933-2484. We've got Jane calling from Minnetonka. Jane, welcome.
Well, hello, Susie. I just really resonated with what you played right before the break. And I wanted to share a little bit with me. You know, God had shared with me, I really have a passion to bring Christ, you know, to the world. But, yeah, he brought into my heart the passage that said, I came for the sick.
Mm.
And you know, I'm more comfortable with those who are thinking like me. And so for a long time, you know, I knew that was what he was leading me to, but I didn't know what to do with it. And I sometimes wonder if he sort of had to trick me into something. Because one day I went into a cafe that I thought was Christian because of the name of it. And I was certainly surprised. And God used that moment for me to bring Christ into a place that was seeking everything but Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. And I knew this was what I wanted to do. I didn't know how to go about finding where this was actually going to take place. And God just made it happen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I love, you know, what he just is moving on is our faith and our availability. And so it's amazing. It's amazing that he can orchestrate those scenarios without any help from us.
You know, and that's what I'm thinking is, okay, I must have heard you right, God, because I knew this is where you were leading me, but I didn't know where to go and how to do it.
Yeah.
So he just did it for us.
Yeah, you just showed up. That is so good, Jane. Thank you so much. That's inspiring.
You're welcome. Thank you,
Susie. And I think that's a word, Jane, for other people that, you know, make yourself available, take those first steps, and you'll marvel at what God does. Bless you, dear. We got Denise calling from iSanti. Denise, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Susie. First of all, thank you so much for your ministry. It's just so encouraging and powerful for me and many. I just was listening to your phase one and your phase two and your phase three, and it just was, it put my thoughts into words so perfectly, and I thought, I have got to read this book. And phase one, I just see it in retrospect, and I have been over the last couple of years being born again and walking with the Lord now for 12 years later on in life. I'm almost 53, and just wanting, just on fire, just a holy Spirit just took me and shook me and brought me to my knees type of conversion. And then I just wanted and thought I knew everything and couldn't get enough of the word and started this ministry at church and you know, after that high, then going through the valley and then the desert and then realizing, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not ready to do all the things that I think I know how to do. And then kind of a dark night of the soul type period. And now I find myself in a brand new situation where it's definitely phase two. I've started a new job, a director of a department with many, many needs, and a nonprofit with, you know, awesome things for many handicapped people. But we don't have my staff. I'm director. I don't have staff. I don't have training. I don't have tools. I don't have equipment. And he is showing up. And he is amazing. I mean, minute by minute, he is providing, and he is giving my exhausted body and my weary emotions. You know, he's showing me that if I just trust and let go and say yes, Lord, and he shines just enough light to give me the next bit that I need, and my faith, my trust, and my intimacy and knowing, as you said, the yada is growing daily.
Denise, you know, I'm so glad you shared that story, because it's a perfect example of, we all, you know, when we first start out, we know just enough to be dangerous. And without saying it out loud, we might say, I got this. And then he leads us into that valley. You know what he taught you there is dependence and humility, because we need him. And now you came out of that wilderness leaning on the arm of your beloved. And that's where we belong, to do all the things he wants. You're so leaning on him. And now your need and his promises are converging, and you are seeing kingdom stuff that's beyond you happen. Isn't that just,
amen.
Oh, honey, God bless you. I hope, I'm pretty sure you'll get a copy of the book, but if not, email me. But Grace will let you know if you got the call in, but one way or another, I'll get you a copy. This is for you, for sure. God bless you, hon. Oh, this is good stuff. John is calling from North Dakota. I want to hear from John. Welcome, John.
Hi. Say, I guess I think I've had a vision. You know, I'd like to reach boys that, you know, their fathers, they don't have their fathers, or for some reason or another. And I'm an instructor, but, and, you know, in a shop setting, and I just thought that would be, you know, I think the Lord showed me that, you know, would be a good way to reach out and give some positive influence in their lives. And I see so much of it that is negative. And, but I guess I don't know exactly where I'm at. You know, I've kind of thought about that, and I think that's where the Lord wants me to go, but it's like I don't know, can you help me, or is this something that I should pursue, or what?
You know, I think my own personal experience is, you know, he put that desire in you. I mean, oftentimes you can tell it's him if it's moving his kingdom forward some way, if it's using gifts and passions of yours, it's if it's connecting with people in a way that shows them who God is. All those things, to me, are how you tell if this is a pure desire from God. And if you get that, and it does something in your heart where you're like, I would so love to be a part of that, it matches who I am, even though it seems bigger than I a.m., that's how you know for me that you're on the track. And so then I would just every day, use me, Lord, what's my next step? And two things that I did, I just like open my eyes to opportunities in my path today, even if they're the tiniest little steps that move me in the direction of that call, but also help me get rid of the time wasters in my life and the things that are derailing and detracting me from this purpose and this direction, and say, Lord, whatever is in me that I'm wasting time, take it out of my life. Whatever is in me that's, you know, dabbling in things that I should be putting my focus forward, show me what it is. And so you start to align your whole life with the purpose of God. And I've done that in different seasons, John. Never regretted it. Always been so glad. And the fruitfulness that comes out of it is amazing.
Now that you say that, I you saying those different things, I can see the Lord doing those, you know, little bit by little bit. Maybe I am on the right track. And I try to seek him more all the time. And I've kind of turned around and trying to put him first in everything I do. So.
Yeah. That's so wonderful. And the kingdom needs your influence, John. And so God dropped that into your soul. And, you know, for me, it's just like my three sons. I hear me joke about them a lot. They're all grown now. But that middle one of mine, he would be the one that if I'd let him carry something, he'd end up turning it into an airplane or a bat or something and break it. But I remember just the Lord speaking to my heart once about we were walking into some family thing and I let him carry something expensive and knowing he could break it. But I needed to show him my trust. And the Lord whispered to my heart, that's what I do for each and every one of my kids. I let them carry this treasure in this earthen vessel, and I give each of you a portion of my burden, of my passion. And I know you're not going to do it perfect, but it's my pleasure to let you carry it. And so it's like he's letting you carry it, John. And so many people get that passion or vision and then do nothing with it because of unbelief. So the fact that you would call and you're trying to sort it through, I think brings great pleasure to God's heart. So I just really applaud you for that.
Should I just keep at it? I mean... Yep. Pray for his guidance and.
Yep. I'm going to pray for you. Can I do that?
Yes.
Father, thank you for John, and thank you for putting a dream and a vision in his heart, Lord. And thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for his life. And Lord, I know that you will make a way where there is no way. So continue to just to quicken his mortal body so he knows what's in his life that has to go, where he knows what to shore up. And then give him daily encouragements, I pray, daily opportunities to be used of you so that he can walk out this vision in its purest form. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you, John. So good to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And the thing that you hear me say a lot on Live the Promise is I believe with all my heart, based on Scripture, that each and every one of us, until we see Jesus again, is that we each have a next place of promise. There's a next place of promise. For you, it might be recovering land that the enemy's stolen. It might be claiming back your marriage, claiming back your finances, or it might be like John, a vision and a calling that you've not even experienced yet, but it's in your heart. We've got to live by faith. We got stuff to do, but we cannot do it on our own. So here's a clip from the DVD, and it's about a time I was out to lunch with a friend, and this is when I, years ago, discovered my next place of promise was to get back land that was supposed to be mine to begin with. Here it is.
You know, I was out to lunch with a friend many years ago, and we both happened to be in a real refining season where God was dealing with some fears and insecurities, and really both of us in a place of just seeking, asking more of you, God, more of you and me, increase my capacity for more of you. So here we are sitting over lunch. Both of us just had a lump in our throat and kind of tears in our eyes, feeling just really raw. And she said, Susie, I've walked with the Lord for a long time, and yet it seems I'm just scratching the surface of what there is to experience of God. She said, do you ever feel that way? And I was so right there. I said, absolutely. And I just instinctively picked up the napkin off the table. It looked kind of like this, a big square napkin. And I said, pretend this napkin represents the full borders and boundaries of what God had in mind for me when I was first born, all the promise, all the purpose. I said, when I was a little girl, I learned that my grandpa died. He was beat to death over a union dispute in the inner city. And he died of a brain hemorrhage. And I was told, don't go downtown because you might get jumped. You might get raped. You might get beat up. And I had all kinds of fear and my world shrunk. Jump ahead a few years. I'm a young girl, about 9 years old. I go into the laundry room for a change of clothes and the door shuts behind me. And there's a handful of neighborhood teenage boys. My brothers weren't around. Before I knew what happened, they had me on the floor, my ankles and my wrists pinned to the ground. And I walked out of that laundry room a totally different person. My world shrunk, and I was afraid. Jump ahead about a year. I'm about 10 years old. I'm walking home from school. I'm about 4 feet tall. and a different group of teenage boys jumped out of the baseball dugout, and I think they were high on something. They were laughing, and they said, get her, and they ran after me, and they knocked me to the ground, and they pummeled me, and they beat me up, they punched me, they kicked me, they pulled fistfuls of hair, and my world shrunk. Jump ahead a little bit more. I'm pregnant with our third child. I had all these dreams about what life would be like as a Christian mom, raising kids to love and fear the Lord. I could barely even get through the day. I had a new thing to fear. A little bit later, when I started to get better, my husband got cancer. My big, strong husband went down and was so sick and so vulnerable, and my world shrunk again. So I leaned in, and we both were crying at this point, and I said, Cherry, my conviction is the size of this table, but my courage is the size of this little puny piece of paper. And there is a big disconnect between what God has promised me and what I am experiencing, and I'm done with it. I want my lamb back. And my girlfriend, she gasped, and she said, oh my goodness, I got to go home, and I got to spend some time with the Lord. I got my own land to recover. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come, Jesus says, so that you have life and life abundantly, life to the fullest. Maybe you're somebody who's lost some land. Maybe the enemy has robbed you blind. And so your next place of promise is to get that land back. Maybe you're somebody that God is showing the winds of change are blowing. And he's like, yep, we're getting ready to go someplace. I'm not telling you where yet, but you got to walk by faith. Trust his voice. Lean on him, not on your own understanding. But then again, maybe you're somebody who God has given a vision. He's shown a promise to you, and you don't have all the specifics, but you've got the vision. You've got to trust him. No matter what, I promise you this, for every one of us, there's a next place of promise that God wants us to lay hold of, and we cannot please him without faith. Listen to him, engage your faith muscles, trust that he is who he says he is, and you will find yourself in the next place of promise. Listen to this powerful quote from Stephen Furtick. Discovering God's vision for your life is one of the primary ways God teaches you about his character. Seizing his big purpose for your life is not just about figuring out what God wants from you and getting down to business. It's also about becoming intimately acquainted with who Jesus is. It's about mining the depths of who you are in him. And out of that revelation, you will fulfill the purpose that he's put you on earth to accomplish. Accomplishing the impossible is all about seeing the invisible. As you walk forward in faith, you will grow in the knowledge of God. And whether you're recovering land that was stolen or you're going to a next place of promise that God has for you, you'll need to engage your faith. But as you do that, you will find that God is who he says he is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your Savior is faithful. Follow his lead. Engage your faith. Lean in and trust him. You will find him faithful. So maybe your land, you need to recover some land, or maybe you've got a sense of vision, but you don't know what next, like John. Trust him. Listen for him. Do the next thing. I want to take this last call from Mary, and we're going to wrap up in here in just a little bit. Mary's calling from Iowa, and she's got a great comment. Mary, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, fine, thank you. I was just wanting to share about obedience to the Word of God. I was saved when I was a freshman in college, and I remember that relatives didn't understand my lifestyle change. And sometimes those who love you the most and you love the most, there's some persecution there. So, you know, I was trying to be obedient to what I believe God wanted me to do, but it was tough because I felt misunderstood. Mm. And here, fast forward, like over 30 years later in my walk with the Lord, and this happened again very recently. And again, it was something that I believed that God wanted me to do after reading his word and in obedience to him. But those closest to me didn't understand. And you know, there's persecution.
Yeah.
And the last comment I had was not only are we sometimes misunderstood, but you know, we have to be willing just to obey and leave the results with him. We don't always see it. But when I was a senior in college, I remember the Lord impressed upon me to have a Bible study with the girls on my dorm. And this was at UNI in a secular university. And it was a long L-shaped hall. And so I said, Lord, I don't really want to do that. That's awkward. These girls aren't interested. But if you want me to do it, I will. So I walked up and down that hall and knocked on every door until I made a contact with someone in the room and said, I'm having this study on Thursday night at such and such a time on the Gospel of John, only for 4 weeks, and you're welcome to come. Well, the first night then, I had my door open, and I didn't know if anyone would come, and it ended up being the three gals that I had knocked on the door the last, and it was the hardest door because they were all three in their room. And so I went in and I told them about this, invited them. And when I left, I just felt like they were all laughing at me, like, boy, is she weird, you know. And those were the three who came, and two of them ended up receiving Christ as Savior. And
wow, Mary, I'm sorry I have to jump in because we're going to be wrapping up here in a couple minutes, but she makes such a good point that obedience doesn't mean it's going to be a smooth path, and obedience costs us something, and obedience happens first, perspective happens next. Bless you, Mary, for your courageous steps of obedience. So important, and she's helping me segue. We didn't even get to the point of engaging your faith. I want to make sure we had a couple minutes, but she's a great example of that. She engaged her faith, and what does that mean? Well, in fitness, when I was an instructor and a trainer for 15 years, we would marvel at times that some would come to the health club every single day, take the classes, and never ever change physically, never get more fit, never get stronger, their body shape would never change. But others who would come, they would change, and you'd see advancements, and you would wonder, why is that? Well, here's another question I'm going to throw out to you. Why do some people stay involved in church year after year? They're the ones bringing the, you know, the food to the potluck and volunteering in all kinds of ways, but you scoot up a little closer and their character doesn't change from year to year. They still maybe have a propensity to gossip or be negative and insecure. How is it that all of that service and all that involvement in church doesn't impact character? Well, I'm going to tell you, I know it's a complex answer, but the simple way, from what I can tell, is it's the difference between movement and engagement. And let me explain. If you put your arm out to your side, your palm is up facing the ceiling, right? And you touch your shoulder and then you straighten your arm. Touch your shoulder. Just try it once. All right. That's movement. Now make a fist and try to flex that bicep. Make that muscle in your upper arm bulge. Flex it. That's engagement, where you're actually engaging your muscle. That's the difference between going through the motions and engaging. How often when we're in church, we're singing those worship songs, our lips are saying one thing and our hearts and minds are going through the grocery list. You know, Jesus says, they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is where the disconnect happens. When we start to go through the motions, we miss out on the best parts of what God has for us. And so just try this next time. When you go to church on Sunday, sing and mean the words. I mean, with everything in you, if you're singing about God of angel armies, he's always by my side. I mean, put a flag in the ground and say, I mean this. He is for me. When you're praying, remember who it is you're talking to. The God of angel armies is the one you're talking to. And he has given you full access to his presence. And the Bible says all of his promises are backed by the honor of his name. And so when we think about engagement, we think about, I'm keeping an ear bent towards heaven. I'm going to do what he says. And then I'm going to put my weight on the promises of God. And I'm going to engage in the things of God. I remember when my hubby was sick with the cancer and he was sitting in that easy chair after radiation treatments and he'd sleep. And our guys were a little... And boys would come to the door to play with them. It was so cute. They would say, no, we're just going to stay with our dad today. And they'd all sit around by his feet on the floor playing with their truck or playing a video game and just never wanted to leave his side, even though he slept most of the time. And I remember this one lady brought a meal over. Remember, I'm not much of a cook. So anyway, they all felt so sorry for poor Kevy. And so she brings over a really nice meal and a gift bag for each of the kids. And they're all three totally engaged in this video game. And I'm trying to engage them in this conversation because she was so nice. And I'm like, oh, nice meal. And that's so nice of you, too, to bring a treat for the boys. Boys, isn't that nice? You know, and they're like, huh? And they're playing their game. Finally, they weren't paying attention. So I said, boys, what do you say to this nice neighbor of ours for giving us these treats? And I'm not kidding you, on cue, they all three turned their heads and said, sorry, turned back around. And I looked at her totally mortified. I'm like, wrong programmed response. Sorry about that. Thank you would have been the thing you wanted to say, but they were totally disengaged. And so again, you know, when we approach situations and scenarios and we try to rely on yesterday's laurels or cliches that we've heard other people say, or even maybe it was a fresh word from God years ago, but we try to throw it out there as a cliche when we encounter a same scenario, we're not engaging our now faith. Here's another example I'll tell you real quick. Girlfriend of mine, beautiful worship leader, beautiful voice. She lost her voice. She had some vocal issues, and they didn't know she would ever sing again. And you know what kind of things people said to her?
Oh, well, maybe God has a plan for you that doesn't involve your gifts. Maybe you did something to make your voice go away. Maybe your voice got too important to you. One thing after another. And do you think that any of that encouraged her? And what engagement would look like in this scenario is to say, Lord, what do you have for my friend here? What do you want to say to her here? It means you're seeking a fresh revelation because, you know, God is always speaking and he wants to use you. So this is no autopilot Christianity. This is standing on his word, following his lead, engaging your faith and expecting that the power of the mighty risen Christ is going to change you, is going to work in you and through you to impact the world for the good. Well, I'm going to close with a prayer from the book. At the end of each chapter, I've got a prayer, and this one is for you. Precious Lord, I want every minute of my life to count for you. Awaken me with fresh passion, fiery faith, and a renewed resolve to follow hard after you. Oh Lord, bless me indeed. Increase your territory through me. May your power be evident in and all around me. May your love flow freely through me. Keep me from evil and from harm and help me to live a life full of faith, rich in holiness, and increase my capacity to live and walk by the Spirit. Awaken your passions within me that I might be quick to obey. My life is in your hands. I trust and I will follow you, Lord. Change the world through me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And here's a passage from Ephesians 3, 20-21. It's one of my life verses. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we could ever dare to ask or think. Now glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, both now and forevermore. I pray today's show challenged, blessed, and encouraged you. Listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at myfaithradio.com. You can email or share it over Twitter and Facebook, and we'd love for you to do that. Well, thanks so much for tuning in today, and be sure to listen to tomorrow's program. We'll hear part 5 of my series on my newest book, Your Beautiful Purpose. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one to keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.